Okay, good evening, everyone. We'll just wait another minute and then we'll start. Tati, can you put your Zoom on speaker mode for the Facebook Live?
Is that
I'll tell you in a second. Yeah, it's perfect. Okay, we'll start in like 30 seconds. All right. So good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Schmooze. Those who are watching on Zoom, those watching on Facebook. So the title of tonight's Schmooze is How Not to Lose It During Lockdown. Just a little bit of historical context here. So we were thinking about what should be the topic of the Schmooze this week. And yesterday I was a little bit losing it, so I decided let's schmooze about how to not lose it during lockdown. That's how this topic came to be, we'll make it a little humorous, obviously, but it's not necessarily funny because many people are suffering. Obviously, many people are going through a hard time, and I guess sometimes it's just better to laugh about things than to cry about things. If you have two options, you can cry or laugh. Sometimes it's better to just laugh. But it's not funny though. And then this is obviously going to be some serious coping tips of how to cope during another 4 months of this, 4 weeks, sorry, I shouldn't say 4 months, 4 weeks of lockdown. So let's begin from that actually. What we're talking about tonight is sort of regular problems, quote unquote, that people are going through, either from having a very full house or having a very empty house. Both are, and we'll talk about both, because both are very challenging in its own right. If you're 24 hours a day with many kids in the house, that's challenging. If you're 24 hours a day alone in your house, it's very challenging. So we'll talk about both. But then obviously people are going through serious mental illness during this time. These things used sometimes trigger serious mental illness. Let's start off with defining the difference, because I think we want to discuss more sort of quote unquote normal coping mechanisms, not necessarily for anything serious.
Hey, good evening, everyone. Good to be here again. First of all, I'm happy you mentioned humor because I think that's one of the coping skills. Humor is very good. What I really like is some of the memes that go around during this time, which are fantastic, or some of the little videos, people poking fun at the press conferences or poking fun at this, not just in a jest way, which is a good thing. But in terms of your question, I think it's a very important question because it's always important to define the topic. I think we're not talking about tonight more serious or significant mental health issues that come up and are triggered sometimes by lockdown and by isolation and things like that. Which is clearly, I mean, I just actually have a someone's going to put me in touch, which I'm going to do, and I'm going to speak to him because I'm interested in the topic. But there's a person who I know who knows another person very well who mans a phone and a hotline in one of these institutions that deal with people who are in crisis. And just said the hot, and he said that the f telephone calls have skyrocketed, which is understandable and normal. But there's a big difference between someone who's really going through a traumatic experience or has real depression or real anxiety. That's not the topic of tonight because, I always like to say when we talk about mental health, it's important to understand the difference. They're both important, but it's important to understand the difference between, let's say, in anxiety, between what I call anxiety with a big A or anxiety with a small A. So anxiety with a big A is a real issue. In other words, it's a person who gets anxious and gets panic attacks or has real anxiety to the point where it really is affecting functionality and it's affecting quality of life in a very significant way. Whereas anxiety with a small A is what we all have sometimes. And during lockdown, we have a bit more maps. We get anxious, we feel uptight, we feel, but we're able to function, but we feel like now sometimes the lines are a bit blurry. One has to know if it's blurry or not. So in terms of real mental trauma that could happen during this time, it's really important to be honest with oneself, really important to reach out. It's really important to reach out for help. And it's important to understand that it's normal and it's okay, especially people who might be prone to some of these things to begin with. This can definitely trigger it. And it's really important to mention that if someone feels that they're not functioning, if somebody feels that they're overly anxious or have gone into a sort of a clinical depression or suffering any other significant mental health issue, that they do reach out and they do seek help, and help is available, and help there is help. But I think what we're talking about tonight is not that. We're talking about tonight is just what many people are going through. People are just feeling very unsettled, feeling sort of a little bit uptight. People are functioning, but yet feeling a bit anxious, not to the point maybe they have to seek professional help, but they're feeling anxious in terms of when is this going to end and how we're going to deal with it. And people are going a bit nuts with a lot of kids in the home, or people are going a bit nuts of being alone at home, whatever the case is. And I think that's the type of thing that we're addressing, or we're trying to address at least.
Okay. Sounds wonderful. So let's get started. Maybe let's, before we get into, as I said, we'll get into specific scenarios soon, because everyone has their own challenge. And as we'll speak about, maybe challenge is challenge, but maybe you can give some just general coping tips here, just sort of a general overview of the idea of how to cope through all of this.
Okay, I think there's a number of things that come to mind. First of all, I think it's also important that we're honest. You know, I've called a lot of people lately, and the people I've called divide into three groups, I think. I don't mean anyone on this, and I'm looking at the list. I'm not referring to anyone here, but they kind of divide into three groups. There are people that tell me they're okay and they're genuinely okay. You know, some people go, well, it's okay, it's fine. There are people that tell me they're not okay, and that's just being honest, and they're struggling a bit, and that's being honest. Then there's people who tell me they're okay, and they're being dishonest, because they have this need to create a front that they're okay. They're okay all the time. And we don't need to be okay all the time. I always say on all levels, whether it's a more significant issue or just a regular issue, it's okay not to be okay. It's just not okay to remain that way. You need to do something about it. But it's okay to know we're struggling. We're all weak. You said yesterday you thought you were losing it. I've had days like that, particularly this time around, I have to say. This time around, it is more difficult for whatever reason. Just perhaps I think it's the fear that they're instilling. It's the uncertainty of it. It's just the frustration of being back where we started. You know, we had this sort of lockdown in the beginning where we all banded together. We had resilience and we thought, no, we're going to do this together. We'll get over it. There's a pandemic and let's just fight it and finished. And then we did. And we thought, wow, we are such an amazing country, amazing city. We got rid of it completely. We're almost back to normal. We actually were back to normal. I'm just reflecting back on the Festival of Shavuot, for example. We're such an, you know, that was the time I really felt like we're back to normal. We had the program. I mean, talking about even in Binah, we were back to, we had this amazing program. We had a function of Ocluse. We had a shul in the morning. It was packed. It was beautiful. It was unbelievable. And then boom. So it's frustrating, and many people struggle. I struggle with it. You struggle with it. People are struggling with it, and it's okay. Some days are better than others. Some hours are better than others, and that's okay. As long as we just recognize that we like that, and we recognize that we need to do something about it. And I think it's okay to be honest about it also. I don't mean that we need to make a Facebook post or a social media post that everyone in the whole world needs to know I'm struggling today. I'm not sure that's helpful or necessary, but what is necessary is that if someone asks you to say, no, I'm actually, you know, I'm doing it tough a little bit, and that's fine. So we can strengthen each other. So that's just a general concept. I'll kind of come back to that in a moment, but I just want to say a few things. So first of all, this is going to sound funny coming from me, but physical health is also important during this time. Really, really important. And sometimes people ignore that. When I say it's funny coming from me, because I'm not known to be like the star athlete of the group or someone who's completely 100% fit, but it is really important. The Rambam tells us that taking care of our physical body is midarkei Hashemu, it's the ways of God. And I think during this time, it's actually even more important. People need to get out and exercise each day. whatever the exercise is. It doesn't have to be radical, but it needs to be, you know. Right now, I can tell you that without my daily walk, and I am doing, I'll be honest, I am doing a daily walk, a probably good walk, I go crazy. I mean, in the same place all day, walking in front of the screen, doing Zooms, having meetings on Zooms, being in the same house, even though it's wonderful people here, but you go nuts, right? So it's really important. It's important to eat properly. It's important just to take care of health. And sometimes in this kind of situation, we let ourselves go, and that's not a good idea. So I just think that we know the relationship between mind and body. Really, really important. If you're not doing it already, really important. Go out every day, take a walk every day, exercise, do something that's good for our body and take care of ourselves. And then, of course, I think there's this concept of a mindset, right? And so first of all, the exercise and the health, that's from a purely physical point of view, which is also part of serving God. But then we come, of course, to our whole mindset and our belief system. And it's hard because we find it hard to accept things. You know, some of the reason that people are struggling at the moment is, and a number of people are telling me this, because they're worried about Yom Tov. So Rosh Hashanah is 5 weeks away, and it's admit it or not, it's unsettling because the prognosis doesn't look that great, and who knows, right? And all these kind of things that are sort of going through together. And one of the things we need to understand, and this is really important, and it takes time to digest this and to absorb it and to internalize it, that given all the mess ups that people have made or should have made, and this one should have done that, and this politician should have said that, at the end of the day, when you're in a situation, it's Yad Hashem, it's the hand of God, right? We need to really, really remind ourselves of that perspective. Hashem puts us in a situation. God, everything's Bajra Pratis. And we have a principle, as hard as it is to understand sometimes, is that when God puts us in a situation, we have the power, we have the inspiration, we have the koyach, we have the power, we have the strength to cope with it and to make it work. So there's a reason, we might not know what it is. There's a plan, we might not know what that is. We have to do whatever we can to get out of this, because this is not the normal routine, and that's what Hashem wants. Hashem wants us to do whatever we can to move beyond this, and hopefully to bring about a situation where we can go back to even a better normal. But while we're in it, as unsettling as it is, it helps to remember this is Hashem's plan. Now, why does it help to remember that? For many reasons. First of all, if it's Hashem's plan, it means it's an opportunity. It means it's for us to view it as an opportunity to do something that we can become a stronger person somehow. We can find different ways of staying above water, different ways of serving God, different ways of connecting to other people, different ways of doing good things, right? And also if it's Hashem doing it, if it's ultimately Hashem's plan, then we're in His hands. And we need to shift our thinking rather from frustration and anger to that belief that if we're in Hashem's hands, then we're in good hands. Right? So that's just a sort of a general principle. But with that comes a very important thing. And I want to just sort of say this before we move on. I want to tell you a little story. With that comes the danger of feeling guilty. So let's say we don't feel that way. You know, sometimes that belief system is very hard, right? So how about if I don't feel that way? How about if I wake up and I'm frustrated and I'm angry and I'm just losing it that day, or I'm just having a low day, or I'm just in a bad mood, right? So now what I've just said is going to add to the problem, because now I'm just going to feel guilty. Hashem's hands, and it's Hashem's plan, and it's this, that, and the other. And now I'm not even feeling that way. So now I'm doubly guilty, right? So now not only I'm anxious and frustrated, but I'm also feeling guilty. So let me just tell you a little story, because it's important to understand. This goes back to what I said in the beginning. We all have, in the Jewish structure, the way we are, we all have two things. We all have what's called a godly soul and an animal soul, right? We are not one person. We have the animalistic part of who we are, and we have the godly part of who we are. Our neshama, our soul, our godly soul believes, absolutely accepts, absolutely knows that it's God's plan, is not frustrated, knows we're in God's hands, and so on and so forth. But our animal soul is not that interested. Animal soul really wants to be free and doesn't want to put up with this, and therefore becomes frustrated, becomes anxious, becomes all that kind of stuff, right? So sometimes one voice is more powerful, the other one is the other voice. There's a continuous struggle, right? So I'll tell you a little story. A story is a story about a group of Hasidim in Russia. I heard the story from an old Hasid that came from Russia. He's no longer alive. And he told me the following story. He said there was once a group of Hasidim in Russia who were employed. In Russia, everyone had to work, of course. So they were employed by a factory that was run by another chassid, another one of the chassidim in Russia. One time during the day, they were having a lunch break. And the lunch break, they decided, ooh, what a chassidim do? They decided to have a little fabrengen. That's this. They were sitting in the lunchroom and they started to sing a niggun, and one person shared a word of Torah. And they were having this fabrengen. And in walks the boss, their colleague, their friend. But he was the boss of the factory. And he completely lost it. Completely lost it. He said, are you crazy? The KGB is going to move in here soon. We're going to all be arrested. We'll be sent together to Siberia. And he goes on like a 10-minute rant, how nuts they are, how dangerous this is. What are you doing? What are you thinking? What were you considering? And so on and so forth. Finishes his rant and leaves the room. A few minutes later, he comes back with a little bottle of vodka, you know, of mashka. And he puts it down on the table. He says, look, if I bring in, here's something to say l'chaim over. So look at him, and I said to him, are you like, have you completely lost it? Like, now you, first you scream at us, now you're bringing us something to say l'chaim over? He says, what don't you understand? He says, very simple. When I screamed at you before, he says, that was my natural impulse response, and that was coming from my animal soul. Okay, so I finished that, and that was that. Now I went out, but I remember that when I was a child, my parents always told me, when you see chassidim having a fabrengen, you must give them something to say l'chaim. So now I'm bringing two things nothing to do with each other. And it's a funny story, but it's a very, very important story. Because yes, some days, okay, so if you're feeling angry, you're feeling frustrated, you're feeling anxious, you're feeling frazzled, you're feeling like you're losing it, that's okay. It's okay to, just means we none of us are perfect. None of us, we all have our bad days. I've had them during this time. And someday I'm not putting up with this. I don't accept it. I'm angry about it. Why are we still in lockdown? Another 4 weeks. This is mama's crazy. And then we try working ourselves and we remember, we know at least where it comes from. And we try working at that. Okay, that was from our animal soul. That's okay. It's part of who we are. And that's part of us that sometimes strengthens and becomes the primary strength. And now we've got to try and work on the perspective and reintroduce the godly soul and let our mindset be one that's more consistent with our core beliefs. So those are some of the general ideas.
Okay, so moving on to more specific issues. So as I'm looking at the crowd here, and there's people watching on Facebook as well, and it's a mixed crowd in sort of circumstance. So I want to discuss all circumstances because, actually, I'm going to throw in a question here because we're going to discuss two different sort of challenges people are going through. I think there's a challenge people are going through who are stuck at home with little kids, which they usually send to school, and then they're, you know, and it's extremely overwhelming to have kids at home the whole day. That's one type of challenge. And then there's another type of challenge of people who are alone. And that's obviously extremely difficult to stare at the same four walls all day and have no one to talk to, at least in person. And that's an extreme challenge. So I want to discuss both because I think both are relevant to different people. Let's begin with the challenge of having a lot of people in your house, whether it's little, and that itself, there's many in that itself is different circumstances. So you can have a house with a lot of little kids. You can have a house with a few young adults. I guess each of them present its own problem. I only have little kids. I don't have young adults, but I'm sure having young adults, even in their 20s, can also present its issues, being stuck with them a whole day. Or if you even just stuck with a spouse the whole day, you know, the same person all day, 24 hours, whereas usually you went to work, you know, you got a chance to miss each other, then come back home. Here it's like you're literally seeing each other the whole day. So all of that sort of goes into the one basket. So if you can just shed some light on how to deal with, first of all, being in the same place with the same people for the entire day, week after week after week, and how to sort of not let those relationships get damaged, whether it's children to parents, parents to children, spouses. And then more specifically, when dealing with children and online school and all that, sort of how should parents be dealing with that in the most least stressful way? Because it is stressful to get them on the iPad, to make sure it's working, to make sure the sound's on, to make sure that they have their work next to them, especially when you're dealing with little kids who don't know how to deal with it themselves. It can be an extreme stress. Maybe you can shed some light on all of that.
Okay.
And also, let me just add one more point to that. You mentioned before guilt, right? So I guess an additional aspect to that stress is the guilt there, right? So I'm stuck at home with children, but that's a blessing, right? I'm stuck at home with children and I should feel blessed and I should, some people are totally alone, right? People are that are on this discussion. So like, you know, so besides the fact that you feel stressed about it, you also feel guilty that you should be feeling lucky that you have people around you, right? So how do you deal with that?
Okay, so starting with the guilt again, I mean, we're normal people. So, I mean, I don't know how you do it. I take my hat off to you. Having three little kids at home all day with this added stress of Zoom schooling is challenging. It's definitely challenging. I can't give you specific tips on online schooling, other than to say that from what I understand, from what I've spoken to most people about, online schooling is a total failure. It's very nice. It's very nice that the government says you'll have to homeschool your kids the next 4 weeks. I'm sure there's a certain percentage of the population that it works for, but by and large, and I take my hat off to the schools, and they're doing a wonderful job, and they're trying the absolute best. But you know, it's actually not working. That's the truth, right? Why am I saying that? No, I mean, I'm saying that because it's true, but I think it's true. But the reason I'm saying that is because also I think parents need to know that. They have to take a chill pill. In other words, you do your best. Now, I think it's important for little children to have some structure, and that structure can be done by the parents themselves. They can work it out themselves, kind of thing. But you know, everyone has their own sort of structure. Meal times are important. Spiritual structure is important. I know in the last Melbourne lockdown, I spoke to a colleague of mine. He says he has a bunch of kids. He says what he does every Shabbos is he takes them all into his study, because his study looks a bit more like a shul. It's got sforim and books, and they have a shul time. It's at a certain time, they have a shul. I think you told me that you buy some food that's similar to the kiddush and shul. You have a kiddush and Shabbos, then you take a break, then you come home for lunch. It's all in the same place, but you have that sort of structure, which is great. But in terms of online schooling, I think parents need to realize that the geniuses that their children are going to become will just happen like a couple of months later. Because it's really, and don't stress, do your best. If they listen, they listen, they listen, listen, listen. You know, obviously, they shouldn't misbehave and all that, but I mean, whatever they get, they get. Whatever they don't get, they don't get, and just don't stress. That's my, I could get into major trouble. I hope there's not like any serious teachers here online that are going to have really complaints to me. Teachers are doing their best, and it's not perfect because it's really not a perfect situation. Obviously, encourage your children to do their best and to try their best, but don't stress, right? Now, in general sense, I think there's a challenge here and an opportunity. It's a challenge. The challenge is being with the same people in the house all the time. It can be challenging. We get snappy with each other, particularly in a challenging time. So when we're not happy already, and you're stuck with the same people all day, you get snappy. You get frazzled. But it's also a good time to reflect on our relationships. And not to take our relationships for granted. And if we do fail, if we do like get angry or snappy or whatever it is, it's a good time to stop and think. And then to put in mechanism. And the only way to do that, especially with older kids or spouses or whatever the case is, communication and talking it through and acknowledging that there could be challenges and discussing with each other. What are you going to do to actually not do that? In other words, so then maybe each person needs a bit of a break during the day or whatever, however the relationship looks, because for some people, it doesn't work to be with the same person all day, right? So maybe there's different parts of the house. Maybe there's different things. Maybe there's just undisturbed time. Maybe some people just need some self time during the day. You need to work all of that. And it's a good thing. It's a good time to do it, right? It's a good time to learn self-control. When you're feeling anxious, you don't just explode. You try. And not every day it'll work, but you try and sort of work on that concept. Because sometimes people, people things are going well, but they're in escape mode because they're not really dealing with their relationships. Now's a good time. It's out in the open. You need to deal with it, and that's a good time to deal with it. There's no magic tricks, but I mean, it's just about a bit of reflection, a bit of discussion, communication, a bit of hard work, but to make it work. And I guess also expectation need to, I mean, going back to younger kids, right? Like some homes are very structured and organized and neat and tidy. You just have to lower the expectations during this week. I mean, this is not possible, especially if someone's got, I mean, I know people that have a lot, you know, relatively small living quarters with a couple of kids in online school. It just, you know, you do your best. So you just have to lower expectations. You don't have to worry because no one's coming anyways. Normally people are very anxious because, you know, the guests might come. Someone might unexpectedly arrive at your house and see what kind of disorganized house you run and non-clean house you run. And so don't worry, no one's coming now because they can't, they're not allowed to. So lowering expectations is also a good thing.
So I have a relative in Melbourne of mine who's a doctor. Now last year Melbourne went through I don't know, I think it was like a 3-month lockdown or something. I hope we don't get to that length of time. Who knows? But and they told me that because they're a doctor and they refer patients to psychologists and things like that, that after the lockdown, you could not get an appointment with child psychologists because they were booked out. And literally, the amount of children that were seeing psychologists after the lockdown skyrocketed, and there was literally no appointments. How do we prevent that from happening? Or can we prevent that from happening? What's going to prevent our kids from being scarred for the next 3 years because of all of this?
That's a very good question. And I'm not a therapist, but I'll just offer you some thoughts that I have. And I've been thinking about this the last few days, actually. One of the things that I think is coming up more this lockdown than even before, I think it's coming from the messaging of the government, and I'm not criticizing them or agreeing with them either, but it's a fact. They're consciously, I think, instilling fear, right? I have to admit, maybe I shouldn't do this, but I do listen to the press conference most days. And even today, there was things like, you know, transmission happens in houses, and if you get it and you go to visit people, you can give them the virus and someone could die. And that's a very scary thing to say. Now, maybe that's necessary, I don't know. But we really have to be careful ourselves, even with adults in the thing, not to dwell on fear. And I think it's particularly important with children. Obviously, we all need to do the right thing. We all need to do the legal thing. And we have to protect ourselves and stay safe. But with children, we have to be really, because I look back at the world I grew up in. It was a very sheltered, protected world, and we felt very, very safe and very, very protected, very, very secure, right? There's a spirit of insecurity and unsettledness in the air, and the only ones that can do something about it is parents. And I think while we're at home, as difficult as it is and as disorganized it might be and so on and so forth, but we have to constantly reassure children that everything's fine, everything's going to be fine. And from a Jewish point of view, that's what we believe, right? We believe in bitachon, in not only believing in Hashem, but trusting in Hashem. We need to trust that Hashem will make it, it'll be okay. It's a temporary thing, this. And that things will be fine. And we have to, because children have amazing antennas. They pick up anxiety from parents. They can feel it. They hear the stuff that we're looking at our phones a lot of the day. They pick up on it. And they hear and they hear and they hear people talking about it. I mean, terminology that I've heard kids say over the last number of months is amazing. I mean, kids say sophisticated words like social distancing I don't even know what social distancing was till a year ago or 2 years ago, whatever. But like social distancing and all this kind of stuff, hand sanitizing, right? And then all these words are new to new language, a whole new language. So we just need to, as much as we can, create a warm atmosphere at home, be fun, rather than be stressed about if the laundry is done or if it's put away properly or the dishes are washed properly. Forget about that. Low expectations in that. Rather bring in more fun, bring in more, and do fun things with kids, do crazy things with kids. I don't know, take walks with them, play funny games at home, just bring it all, and also reassure them, just constantly reassure them.
Yeah. You mentioned frustration on, you know, at the government or politicians or decisions or whatever it is. Is that a healthy thing? Meaning, is that even something we should be thinking about? You know, there's no elections at the moment. There's not really much we could do about it. We can't replace, I mean, whether you're a fan, whether you're not a fan is not relevant here. And we tend to not talk politics on the schmooze. And this is not politics. This is just a question of, you know, should we let these frustrations boil? Should we try not think about it? How do you sort of deal with that?
So it goes to a very, very fundamental principle. A couple of principles. First of all, I mean, again, we're all normal, right? So I'll be very honest. In the last week, I've gone through moments like that, right? Because there are things I fundamentally disagree with, and every citizen has a right to agree or disagree. Even though most of the time it's nonsense, because who am I anyways, and what do I really understand? I couldn't run a state and I couldn't run a country. So, you know, it's also, It's always good to be experts when you know how to do it yourself. That's number one. I mean, I always think that generally they've done an amazing job, but there are things that really frustrate me. And I've had moments, which I think a lot of people have had, where I felt down, I felt angry. And like, you know, vaccine rollout, for example, is a good example. A lot of people are angry with that. So you feel like it's like unjust, like the injustice of it. Why do I have to be locked up because someone messed up in the vaccine rollout? Let's say, if that's good or not. I'm not saying it's right or not. I'm just saying that's a sentiment, right? And then what I had to do was I thought about it and I thought, you know, it's interesting. Like I teach a lot of, you know, stuff about belief in Hashem and about Bitachon and in the hands of Hashem and Ashkacha Pratit and everything's about divine providence. And like that. And I thought, you know, this is like ridiculous. Like, why am I getting uptight about it, right? So what I'm just sharing with you what I'm doing. I'm working on it. Why am I working on it? Because I'm trying to at least convince myself in my mind of a few fundamental Jewish principles. Number one, we are not in control. Everything that happens with Ashkacha Pratit, by divine providence from Hashem, like we said before. Second of all, we need the fundamental principle of giving up control, meaning transferring control from the outside and shifting it towards the inside. So it's about, so I'm angry, so I feel it's unjust, and therefore tomorrow I can go out now, I can have guests, I mean, I go to shul, I still can't. So what's going to help me being angry, right? In other words, what I need to do is say, what can I control? What is in my control? What's in my control is my responses. What's in my control is how I treat my family. What's in my control is what I could do for other people differently than we normally do. We could do it through Zoom. We could do it through telephone. We could do it through discussions, whatever the case is. So we need to shift that control from what we cannot control to what we could control. When I say that doesn't mean if someone has an opportunity to petition the government, for example, or to do something that might bring about a change, by all means, go for it. If you know something, if you have connections and you really believe in something, calmly, respectfully, go and try and do it. Go and try and make it happen. But to just be angry about it, just because you can't do anything about it, it's just unhealthy. It's something that we're all going through this, we all have our moments of this, but it's an escape. In other words, it means I don't have to do anything. I just have to be angry and play victim. But really, it's not what we should be doing. We should believing that every day has a purpose. Every day Hashem wants us to make the day purposeful and meaningful. What can I do today? What can I control? How can I make this day count?
Someone asked a question, and please, if anyone has any questions, please post them in the chat. You can private chat it to me, or you can put it on the general chat. What about being angry at Hashem for the situation? Is there any room for being angry at God?
Okay, so it's a very interesting...
It's really a separate sheer, but...
Yeah, it's a separate thing, right? So people go through... I mean, for example, when people experience real tragedy, then obviously there is that time that people go through that sometimes. But obviously it's on the one hand, it's like almost like a positive thing. It means we have a relationship with God when we're angry with him. But he's our Father and as our God. So, I mean, anger at God is not a good thing because... It's a normal reaction sometimes, but it's something we have to work on, because remembering that, what does it mean to be angry? Angry means like you don't agree, like you think he doesn't know what he's doing. And of course, fundamental to our belief is he knows exactly what he's doing, and he has a plan for everything. What, not that we understand it necessarily, not that we have to rationalize it, nor should we rationalize it, but acceptance, I think, is the word we're looking for. So sometimes when we feel that anger towards Hashem, we have to learn to accept. Other thing we need to do, by the way, which also is, you know, it's like that, did we just tell a story lately? It's like the story of the guy that's driving around the city and can't find a parking spot, right? And he promises Hashem that he's really late for an appointment, and he promises Hashem that if he finds a parking spot, he'll do a mitzvah, he'll put on tefillin, he'll give tzedakah, whatever. And he's making these promises and he's really getting late. And suddenly there's this beautiful parking spot that appears. And he turns to Hashem and he says, "Don't worry, God, I found one." Right? So I think we have to remember like this. You know, when we're angry with God, it's because we're blaming God for something. If you're blaming God for something, it means that we really believe that everything comes from God. But if we believe that everything comes from God, so what we should be doing really is we should be sitting down and making a gratitude journal, as they call it now, in modern psychology. Right? Like let's every day focus on the things that we do have. Do we have food to eat? Most of us do, Baruch Hashem. Do we have our health intact? Do we have our family? Yes, there's stresses. Yes, there's frustration. But for the most part, people are enjoying a list of many, many brachas, many blessings. Now, that doesn't mean that the pain isn't real. It doesn't mean that the frustration isn't real. But it doesn't mean that we have to, sometimes we, that allows us to forget about blessings that we do have. So whenever we sort of feeling a bit frustrated with Hashem, let's start focusing on the things that He has given us and that He continues to give us, and that the things that we can enjoy and we can find meaningful and purposeful, and build up that gratitude. So gratitude in this time is a, focusing on gratitude is a really, really important tool.
All right, switching over to a different sort of challenge, a different situation. There are many people who live alone for different reasons, and this is extremely challenging. I remember the first time around when we were locked down, we went through a Pesach, where many people sat down to the Seder alone, which, I mean, is terrible. It's a terrible thing to do. And now again, once again, people are alone. People can't see people. Theoretically, we don't know, but we could go through a Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur where people are alone, right? And they have literally no one to even daven with, to sing with, to dip apple and honey with, whatever the case is. So what are your thoughts about that? How does someone go through that?
So yes, that's a hard one, right? Interestingly enough, after the first lockdown and the prolonged lockdown in the States, there was a very fascinating study that came out from Harvard University that actually concluded that young adults, younger people, were much more affected by loneliness than older people were. Now, that's not to minimize the pain of being alone when you're older at all, right? God forbid, that's a very, very painful thing to be. Not to be able to see a family for an extended time is very, very hard. I know people that are alone, and it's hard for them. But I think why I mentioned that study is because sometimes connections are deeper connections than just seeing people, and some people are able to do that. So I don't want to sort of answer and sort of minimize the challenge, because the challenge is big. But I think just the determination for those kind of people to make sure that every day has a structure, every day has a meaning. I mean, I know people have told me that they Zoom in all the time, and they was listening to Shurim online, for example, and they're structuring the days. They're talking to people over the phone. They're making sure that the days are not empty. In other words, sometimes when days become empty because we can't see people, so we don't shift and channel, replace the emptiness with another fulfillment. We just sort of experience the pain of emptiness, and that's unhealthy. So again, without minimizing the pain, because I'm not in that situation, Baruch Hashem, but then if I don't want to, I'm not qualified really to be able to comment, but I guess the what people have told me, or those people that, I mean, I'll just tell you an interesting thing. I mean, again, I'm only quoting someone else. I'm not saying that I could do this, because I'm not qualified to say this, because I've never experienced that. But there was someone that I know that I was devastated that he would have to sit last year the Seder by himself, right? And I spoke to that person, who was a gentleman. I spoke to him beforehand a number of times, and he shurim, and I sent over stuff that he could read maybe. I spoke to him, one of the first people I called after the first days of Pesach, was I called this person. And he said, I got to be honest with you, it's the most meaningful Seder I've ever had in my entire life. He decided, you know what, I'm alone, I can't change that, I'm not in control of that. I'm going to make this meaningful, so I'm going to take my time. He had the longest Seder he's ever had. He had things to read. He took every step of the Seder. He researched it. He read it. He thought about it. He read the Haggadah very slowly. He says, sometimes when I go to other people, they read it too fast. It's a bit too fast for me. And he loved it. I mean, again, this is only something you do. You never do this to begin with, nor is he going to do it ever again if he can help it. But nevertheless, he found a way to make it unbelievably meaningful. So, we have to be, Hashem should help us. We need to be strong enough to be able to do that. But, that's what he did.
Okay. I think there's another stress that many people are going through, and that's financial stress. Now, I don't think you're the address to ask for financial advice. I definitely wouldn't recommend that to anyone. But I'm interested to hear if you have any thoughts on that. How would people, especially people who, in all fields, whether it's in construction or it's in, owning restaurants, owning clothing shops, retail, all these areas where people are really, really suffering financially. I know we have a government which helps us out, but it's not as much as people normally make, and people are very stressed. How would you recommend people to deal with that?
I think, again, I'm not qualified, but I could just share a couple of thoughts coming from what other people have told me, and that is, Number one, and this goes for everything, by the way. If you're struggling, don't do it alone. Don't do it alone. Reach out. Right? I think that's the number one message. Share it. Don't. It's not a strength to be a martyr. It's not a strength to make as if everything is fine. Hashem made the world in such a way where there's giving and taking. Obviously, we never want to be on the taking end, but we do have to. That's the way it is. It's mashpia and makabel. Hashem built, the Talmud says that Hashem built the world on chesed, on kindness. For there to be kindness, there has to be those that give kindness and those that receive kindness. So reach out, share it with someone. King Solomon said, if you have a worry, you need to get rid of the worry. But how do you get rid of the worry? You get rid of the worry by sharing it with other people, right? And that's number one. Number two, I know what's helped other people is that they, part of sharing is they share with people who are really experts. You know, we should never come to the conclusion, oh, there's nothing can be done. I know my situation, nothing can be done. Not necessarily. Again, you're right. Never come to me for financial advice, but there are people that have expertise. Reach out. Reach out to a friend. Reach out. You know, you never know. Sometimes someone might be in the situation to help out. And when you're in the situation, you'll pay it forward and you'll help out. But don't do this alone. This goes for everything. Don't do it alone. Share with people. Share with people what you're feeling. Again, we're normal. If you're feeling frustrated, if you're feeling down, if you're feeling anxious or you're a little depressed, it is normal in this situation. Share it with someone. Get the support, whether it's emotional support, expertise or support. Don't do it alone.
Okay. We're actually ending a little bit early tonight. We're going to end at 8:00. I just want to ask you one final question. And this is relevant to the time of year, which we're about to enter into. We're about to enter into the month of Elul, which is a spiritual month, a month of preparation for the high holidays, for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And who knows what's going to be this year. This is a time of year where many people spiritually connect, even if they don't spiritually connect the rest of the time of year, but this is sort of when they wake up spiritually. How do you recommend people do that this year? Do you have any thoughts on that? How are we going to manage to do this?
So I think, first of all, let me just go back a second. First of all, it is incredibly important to be spiritually connected now more than ever. Because this is the only thing stable that we have, really, right? I said this last time a lot, but we're living through a world of uncertainty. All we can do right now is connect to the world of certainty. The world of certainty is our world of spirituality. It's the world of values. It's the world that doesn't change. That is constant. Every day, our values remain the same. Our connection to God remains the same. So that's incredibly important. Therefore, we all have to do more than we've done before, whether it's learning a bit extra, another mitzvah, something more meaningful, whatever the case is, right? It doesn't have to be big things. It doesn't have to be stressful things. Just something more, just to focus more, to think more and to connect more. But we are coming, you're right, we're coming soon to the month of Elul. And for me personally, this has been an area, a source of stress over the last few days when this thing started, especially when I heard it's going to be another 4 weeks. Because, you know, we together do a lot during this time and people are inspired during this time, during the month of Elul Tishrei, and like, you know, how's it going to happen? So the attitude has to be, we are going to, whatever happens, we are going to have the most inspiring and uplifting Elul and the month of Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, more than ever. How? We're going to find a way. Zoom, which I didn't know existed until COVID began, I didn't know what Zoom was, will help out. Other things will help out. We'll do it. We'll make it happen. And we have to make it happen because that's what's going to get us through. Whatever we're going to have to get through, this is exactly what's going to get us through. And if Hashem so wills it, I hope he has a bit of a different plan, but if he wills it to, if that's what he wants us to be, Rosh Hashanah, a little bit alone, we're going to help each other to make it the most meaningful ever. And we have to do that. We can't. And if we're in that situation, we can make it happen. Because the fundamental principle in Yiddishkeit is, in other words, the two things can happen at the same time. We have to keep on davening and hoping and doing whatever we can that this ends quickly and we can go back to what we normally do. But while it's still here, it means we have the power, we have the strength to make it happen in a big way. And staying spiritually connected is, you know, there were a couple of people during, most people that I know actually did make a huge effort. There were one or two people that, you know, told me, no, I just gave up, and Zoom is not my thing, and then I just couldn't connect, and, you know, I just haven't heard a shiur in 3 months. And I can see that it's affecting them, and it's unhealthy on all levels, not only on a spiritual, godly level, but on all levels it's unhealthy. So let's not do that. That's the worst thing we can do. Let's not say, you know, we'll just put, you know, postpone due to lack of interest kind of thing, right? We're not going to postpone Yontif. We're not going to postpone Elul. That's where the Jewish calendar works. It is what it is. And we're going to make it happen more than ever.
All right. Thank you so much for joining, everyone. We're going to have a schmooze again next week at the regular time, which is at 8 o'clock. Also, stay on that note, which we just ended, stay tuned for all the things, all the special things that are happening over the next month to help us prepare for what's going to be a very unique Rosh Hashanah. And just stay tuned for all the emails, all the notifications, and we hope to see you soon. Have a wonderful night, everyone.